Hello and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Mazoz. Hello. Today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the wisdom of Kabbalah, but from a very special angle. On one of our previous shows, Dr. Lightman taught us that the wisdom of Kabbalah is a very advanced kind of science. We'd like to understand the wisdom of Kabbalah as a science in the 21st century. It's going to be interesting. Nitza, please. Yeah. In this very broad field of the wisdom of Kabbalah and sciences, I'd like to understand the unique method of research that the wisdom of Kabbalah uses. On previous shows, you explained that there are actually two points of observation that if an ordinary science in all scientific fields, chemistry, biology, physics, and so on, measures from a very specific point of observation, then there's another point of observation, and this is actually the point of observation that we have to learn how to develop. And a scientist that's engaged in the science of the wisdom of Kabbalah is actually in between these two points, or this is what I'd like to understand. What is the unique method of research that the wisdom of Kabbalah uses in comparison with other scientific modern sciences? Any modern science requires a sense, a sensor that feels a certain phenomenon, and then we have to decipher what our device picks up. Usually it won't be the person himself, but some kind of big device with computers and so on. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, both the one that feels and the one that perceives and deciphers what he feels is man himself. And man himself then has to be as a device. And he has to know, how does he calibrate himself? His qualities, senses, feelings, thoughts, in accordance with what he wants to research. The wisdom of Kabbalah, it doesn't deal with the various phenomena of this material world. There's already a science for that. But it researches the general force of nature called nature, or the Creator, which is one and the same, only it kind of confuses us. And it investigates this force and how it influences us, or, more correctly put, it wants to investigate it the way it itself is. But in order to investigate it, a Kabbalist has to change himself in accordance with that force in order to perceive it. If I want to perceive, if I want to grasp, pick up a certain light coming from some star, I have to build a sensor that will precisely perceive that wave and to direct that sensor directly at that place, and then to know how to decipher the different phenomena. Same here. I have to develop a special sense in me to feel that which that nature, let's call it, emits toward me, and to perceive this influence and to know how to decipher it. For this, I have to know how to make this kind of sensor out of myself that perceives this, and the device that processes all this information and afterwards examines it and continues all of these experiments and so on. And this is what a Kabbalist does. Meaning, This is something that he really has to work at. Kabbalists started doing this 6,000 years ago, so they have what to rely on. And it says how they have to change themselves, and what qualities, at what intensity, in order to see such or such phenomena from that general upper force that's called nature. And Kabbalah books, they're filled with the different results of this research. So the wisdom of Kabbalah turns the researcher himself into the researched object. Yeah? Meaning there's no external object that you research. No, that's impossible. So what does he research about himself? The way he feels the upper force by coming out from his own nature, from how this upper force has begotten him, and from this perception of reality that the upper force has shaped and formed for him. And he wants to feel the upper force outside of those boundaries in which he was created. So what component does he research about himself? He researches the measure to which he succeeds by the recommendations of Kabbalists that preceded him to calibrate himself to the perception of the upper force, which is the force of bestowal and connection. And how does he do it? Besides himself, he has to find others like him and to connect with them, and then in the connection between them, himself and them, even though that they're all different people and egoists and think differently and feel differently, to the extent to which they are capable of rising above their initial nature and connecting, then in their connection, where they resemble that upper force. Resemble how and what? To the measure to which each of them can annul himself toward the others. By this, he makes himself like the upper force. In his expression toward others, suppose, I and Monsieur Oren. Then we, as people in this world, between us, here, there's a kind of wall, partition, that we can't allow the other to enter my field, my area, and so on. So we want to get rid of this partition, but we can't. The wisdom of Kabbalah has a method that if we can annul the partition between us, this wall, and each of us enters the attribute, the quality of the other, then in this attribute, in this mutual field, we start feeling the upper force. So just to see if I get it, there's a partition between us. This partition leaves me in the ordinary point of observation of the will to receive. Yes, in order to break through into the other point of observation, the new one, so that I can investigate and research how the upper world influences me, you say, there's a trick. You have to break down the wall, get rid of the partition. How do I do it? You want to enter the field of the other, and you allow the other to enter your field. So the connection between us is a means for developing that point of observation in the mutual field that you build. There you feel the upper force, because you've annulled the power, the force of the ego of each one of you, and then in that mutual field, you're in the force of bestowal, and then you feel the upper force, or nature, which is complete bestowal. And therefore, as it says, from the love of the created beings to the love of the Creator, love another as thyself is the great rule of the Torah, and so on, it all comes from this. Okay, suppose O and I, we worked at it, and we found this common point of observation. He'll examine his results, and I'll examine mine. Will they be the same? No. Why? Because to begin with, you have different qualities. He has a certain type of ego with a certain intensity, and so do you. So, to the measure to which each of you does the work to annul yourself in order to acquire the quality of bestowal. So actually, the result of the research will be the gap that I've achieved between my quality and the new quality, plus my fundamental substance. Not plus. It's already a part of it. Yeah. Okay, before we continue, I have a few questions. I want to understand in general. In physics, I research the world that I live in. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, what do I research? In the wisdom of Kabbalah, you research who is the force that enlivens you, builds you, forms and shapes you in every moment. You research the root of your reality. Okay. What do I do it with? With that which fits that force, which is an equivalence of form with it. Just like if I want to perceive certain waves, then I build a certain sensor, particle accelerator, and so on. Okay, so what tools do I build in the wisdom of Kabbalah? You build vessels of bestowal. Meaning, the will to bestow, the will to give, the desire to come out above your own ego. This is what you need. And then, according to this inclination that you develop, you start feeling, what's outside of my ego? What's outside of my nature? And then, in that, you grasp the upper force that's outside of you. So to see if I get it, the tool that I research with is the desire to come out of the boundaries of my ego and to start bestowing toward what's outside of me. Yeah. So there's no microscope or telescope here or any other device, but there is me. But not only me, but there's a very specific desire that I have to develop inside myself. Yes. And this desire becomes the tool with which I research. Yeah, the sensor. Okay, now, what follows is that the Kabbalist, the researcher, becomes both the researching device, the tool that you research with, meaning there's no laboratory. There's like physics laboratory, chemistry laboratory, and so on. Is there a laboratory for Kabbalah? Man himself. Man himself becomes the laboratory. Yeah. And what kind of experiments does he conduct in this laboratory? By changing himself every time, becoming more bestowing, less bestowing, and in different ways, in different boundaries, in different fashions and ways, accordingly he studies the upper force according to the law of equivalence of form. To the extent to which this upper force is different in its intensity, different in different ways, is different in its bestowal to the created being. It's like a star that you see. The same way he discovers the upper source, the source of life, of bestowal, and studies it. Okay, now, in physics, when I discover something that exists in nature, then usually it helps me. Anything that I discover that I didn't know about yesterday and I know about today improves my life. It helps me better understand nature. Depends. If it's a practical science, then yes. And if it isn't, then it doesn't. We know a lot about stars, but what does it give us in the meantime? No, I mean, I know more about this thing called nature in which I exist. I discovered another detail and another one. As a Kabbalah researcher, what do I get to know better, the world that I live in or what? yourself, the upper force, and what's between you. So I understand the world better like in other sciences. You come to know nature, the creator. Nature and the creator, it's all one and the same. You start understanding what's going on, what's the reason for everything that happens, for every phenomenon in our world. Sure? Only you won't be able to tell about it to everyone because they won't understand you. Why? Because they don't have the same perception of reality as you do. In this research, you grasp things that other people don't, of course. How? Because I have a new sense. Meaning that in order to grasp the findings of the Kabbalistic research, a person that I want to tell him about my revelations, he himself has to go through the same process of developing the desire to come out from the boundaries of the ego and to bestow, and only then can he grasp what I have perceived in my research after the process I went through. All true. Okay. So, what I understand is that if I compare it with some physical law, for example, that I've revealed, I did the research, I have proof, and so on, what I understood is that in the scientific research of the wisdom of Kabbalah, where the researcher himself is the changing object, then every day a person sees a different world. Every time he can discover something completely new. And it's not so in our world. Yeah, there are innovations all the time, even without innovations. Today you're different from yesterday. It's the same. Only there in the wisdom of Kabbalah you have the ability to change reality. What do you mean by changing reality? Not only to observe it, but also to change it. To change reality, it means that to the extent to which I change myself, I change the world that I live in, that I exist in. So I changed the world that I exist in because I made a change in my qualities, sure. I as if travel, fly, ascend, descend from world to world in my perception of reality. How would you define an experiment in the wisdom of Kabbalah? We know what an ordinary scientific experiment in our world is. What is an experiment in the wisdom of Kabbalah? That I change my qualities and I know exactly how I change them, and the extent of changes that I'm going through from all the different options that I have, and accordingly, I discover how much the upper force changes toward me in different ways, in different, let's call it, colors. It's not colors, but suppose. Can you give me a tangible example for a scientific experiment in the wisdom of Kabbalah? No, there are no such examples in our world. But you just said that there are. But you're asking for an example in our world. I can't. No, you just said that in the wisdom of Kabbalah there are scientific experiments. And you described in general what is a scientific experiment in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Can you give me an example for one so I can understand what you're talking about? For this, you have to be in the same nature as you want to observe. Let's go step by step so I'll understand the entire experiment from zero. Now we ascend to the first spiritual degree, a new world. The very first degree from all the worlds, the lowest one. Now, you have to start going through inner changes in accordance with this degree. Suppose Malchut of Malchut of Malchut of Atzilut. When you'll get an impression there from the world and the upper force, then Nefesh of Nefesh of Nefesh of Asiya. And what does that tell you? Nothing. I don't understand a single word. True, because unless you change in accordance with what I'm talking about, and you grasp this point in your inner changes, in your desire to bestow, to rise above your ego, then you won't feel what I'm talking about. So going back to the very start, try to guide me through such an experiment. This is where I started. What we have to do is that now I'm making a tzimtzum, a restriction on myself. This is the very first thing that I do. Yes, what is that? Tzimtzum, it means that whatever is revealed to me, I do not want to receive for myself, for my own pleasure. But it's all for the benefit of others, / the upper force. After I finish the tzimtzum, the restriction, what can I discover? To what extent can I discover the force of bestowal, the so-called light in the wisdom of Kabbalah, in order for it to fill me not for my own pleasure, but for the pleasure of everyone, including the upper force, and in general, including all created beings. So I have to integrate with all other created beings and the upper force, nature, and to turn myself into the transition between the upper force and the created beings, a kind of conduit. The extent to which I'm capable of turning myself into someone that performs a certain action without getting anything in return from it. This is actually my action. And then when I do that, I start discovering where I am. In the spiritual world, meaning I feel that upper force, the general force of the whole of reality that acts without any intention to receive anything for itself, its utter bestowal, and I identify that both because I'm that way too, to some extent, according to my degree, and I see how much I'm bestowing from Him through me to the rest of reality, that by me gradually comes closer to that state too. This is what a Kabbalist does. So in a scientific research that a Kabbalist does, we can say that there are two stages. The first stage is the tzimtzum, the restriction, and after that, he creates a certain gap between that initial observation point and the next one. And in this gap, he examines the force of bestowal and so on that does not fulfill him, but only passes through him and fulfills others. Now, this experiment, every stage in this experiment, it creates a greater gap between these points of observation. There are changes, but it's not like the ones that we're familiar with, but it's within the boundaries of the inner changes, to the extent to which a person can rise above his egoistic nature. This is what everything's measured in. In this gap, the measure to which he can rise above his own nature and to be a bestower instead of a receiver. Okay, so I have a question. Now, when you just described the example for a scientific experiment and the method of the wisdom of Kabbalah, there was the stage of the tzimtzum, the restriction, and then you said that a person has to integrate with the rest of the creatures and make a conduit out of himself through which the force of bestowal will pass from the Creator to the rest of the created beings. This reminded me that previously when Nietzsche asked, what is the method of research, you said that it's work between two people, that normally there is this partition between two people, and when they cancel this partition, in this mutual realm, they perceive the upper force of bestowal. True. So can you explain this? And just to complete the question, so a scientific experiment in the wisdom of Kabbalah includes man that performs all of these actions inside of him, or the interactions between man and other people? Both. Can you explain? There are certain conditions in which a person can do it on his own. Suppose he's sitting in prison or who knows what. So there are experiments that he conducts with himself and with others. Yes. So a bit about both. The experiments that he performs on his own, usually it's very hard and it usually comes through great suffering or from great suffering. And this is something that existed in the past. In our times, I don't think that it's possible, that it's something that we can do, because we're in such times in which the world has to enter the realization of the spiritual law. And therefore, in our time, we can reach research and equivalence of form with the upper force, revealing him, feeling him only in groups. And this is what the Kabbalists write about. So the research isn't inside the person, but in a group of people, in our mutual realm, in the mutual realm between us. Okay, so if previously the entire laboratory was a person's desire and all the processes that he went through inside himself, so in a group of people, how does that Kabbalistic laboratory work? What's in it? In it, there's the connection between them. That is like the upper force of bestowal and love. That's alike what? Alike the upper force. So they create a special kind of connection between them that includes the annulment or the cancellation of the partitions between people. And what do they get as a result of this experiment? A mutual realm in which there is connection and love in that mutual realm between them, and in it they discover the upper force that's revealed between them. Because you talked a lot about the upper force, is it a religious process or not? No. This relates only to the correction of the human nature. Last question. Kabbalah as a science that we're going to discover in the 21st century, what can it bring to this world, that to our world, that we haven't found in other sciences? Plenty and abundance compared with other sciences that practically give us the very opposite. And what is it about it that it can do this? Connection between people, that in the connection between us, we attain a supernatural life, the next degree of humanity. One last question, really. You said that man discovers more and more worlds all the time. Yeah. This development of man that discovers another world and another one, is it limited or what? No, it's unlimited. There are no limitations in the spiritual realm because it's entirely in bestowal and not in reception. So it has no boundaries, no walls, no volume. And where is this realm? Wherever you create it, that's where the force of bestowal is. It's unrelated to the dimensions of the corporeal realm. Dr. Lightman, thank you very, very much. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.